This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us as we celebrate our return to traditional, face-to-face worship services with a fellowship hour following. We are excited to announce the return of our traditional worship service and hope that you will join us. Of course, the service will continue to be broadcast on Zoom as we worship safely with any precautions that you may observe. You are also invited to join us at 10 a.m. prior to our service for a time of praise music and inspirational videos. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or like us on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 23rd, 2021.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. This is Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your gift of the Holy Spirit. We have come not as faithful as we should be, nor as joyful as we could be. Yet we have been attracted to your faithfulness and your joy. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, teach us more about your truth as revealed by Jesus Christ. Fill us with your promise. Challenge us to follow you this moment, this day, this coming week. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us begin in silence as we come before our Lord. Our gracious and loving God, we come before you today on a Pentecost Sunday. Sometimes we take it for granted that it's just another day in the calendar of Christianity. But Father, it is far more than that. It is the fulfillment of your final promise through Christ. Other than your return, is that you would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Today is the day we remember and we celebrate the fulfillment of that promise so long ago that is still being fulfilled even today. And Father, let us be grateful that when we cannot pray as we should, when we do not know that for which we should pray, when words cannot express what we feel in our hearts, your word teaches us that the Holy Spirit groans within us with words that only you can understand. Father, when we find ourselves in those places in life, when we don't think we're being heard, when we are afraid to come, when our brokenness gets in the way, when our faults and shortcomings are played before us by our enemy, when we feel like we can't do enough, when we feel like we haven't done as we should, Father, move within us with your Spirit. Reassure us in our journey. Don't let the evil one come into that to stir up doubt and dread, to stir up dissension, to stir up and to separate to cause confusion, to cause us to draw ourselves away from instead of to you. On this Pentecost Sunday, remind us of whose we are, and that we have been bought with a terrible price, the very life of your Son. But what a wonderful gift it is, as terrible as it was. But Father, we stand and we sit and we kneel and we pray and we live and we walk and we share because Jesus is alive. Our Redeemer lives. Your Spirit flows through each and every believer who have trusted into you and unto you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayers lifted this morning for needs deep within our hearts and lives. We bring them before you today. Forgive us our sins and give us strength to forgive others, to help us let go of brokenness, angers and frustrations, uncertainties. And let us lift our eyes and our hearts before you, a loving God, eternal, within us and with us. Father, as we seek your grace for our lives, our needs, our prayers, and forgiveness for our sins, strength to do the same, we want to pray for our communities, our nation, and the world around us. Father, we are not so far removed that what happens someplace else doesn't impact us. We can no longer say that don't matter over there as long as it's okay over here. For Father, we realize that if one is hurting, it hurts us all. For the Apostle Paul writes that there is one Spirit in us all, through us all, one God in one Christ Jesus. So let us pray earnestly for each other, our leaders. Father, let us pray for those in nursing homes and shut-ins in their own homes. Father, let us pray for those who live in fear, doubt, and uncertainty. Let us pray for hearts that are not warm towards you, for those who do not believe, who do not trust. And Father, let us pray also for those who halfway believe, think they believe, but are deceiving themselves. As James says, the one who looks in a mirror and walks away forgetting who they saw. Father, we pray today for Christians to be Christians, bold in their faith, bold in their service, but knowledgeable in your word, trusting in your Spirit. Father, we pray today for a revival in this nation and in the world. We pray for a turning back to you, to values of integrity, to values of mutual concern, to values of respect, care, and compassion. Father, we pray today that people would accept you through Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and that they would know the power of Pentecost and changed lives. And now may you hear us as we join our hearts and voice, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from Acts Book 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' The word of God for the people of God."
Pentecost Sunday. How many of you ever really think about Pentecost? I mean, that just the word just rolls right off your tongue, don't it? Pentecost. You use it every day, right? I mean, it's a conversation piece at the dinner table. No, we don't. We hear this thing once a year. The colors are red. We know it's different. And we'll get through it. We'll get out of the other side of it. Yeah, that's sort of Pentecost. But maybe we need to know a little bit more about it. And now we need to get out of our catbird seat where we know what's going to happen in this upper room, because we really don't, I don't think, exactly know. Or Pentecost would mean more to us than it does. It would be more significant to us than it is. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. It is the day, 7 weeks, 45 days, roughly that, after Passover, when the Jewish people celebrate the giving of the law. It is the fulfillment of God's promise, covenant, and contract in the giving of the law. You see, the law that God gives them is about their relationship with God, their relationship with each other. It's a covenant. It's about that give and take. I'm your God and you're my people. You're my people and I'm your God. You know, kind of partnership thing going on. That's Pentecost. Now you need to remember who's in this upper room. Remember that these are duds. Society's duds. They're fishermen, tax collectors, rejects, failures in the Levitical schools, non-rabbinic people. You need to understand, Jesus didn't pick the best wine. He made the best wine out of what he was given, which was water, by the way. But he didn't pick them. These are Peter, for instance. Peter is a, I had to go back and look a little bit more up on Peter. We're watching this PureFlix show, Chosen, and they're doing this thing with the disciples. So I had to go back. You know, when I watch a program, I'm going, I don't exactly remember that. So I had to go back, and Carrie don't know, check this thing out. I wanted to be sure I wasn't watching something or my fan. Anyway, Peter was quite a colorful character. Peter liked to brawl. Peter liked to fight. Peter liked games of chance. Peter was a crook. Not only was a lying fisherman, but he was a crook. He was a swindler. He was the worst character you would have ever met. He paid no attention to Sabbath holidays and Jewish traditions. That's Peter. You got to check out Matthew. He was the thief, a crook, turned his mama in for a nickel. He didn't care. He used you like trash. All that mattered to him was his fanciness. He wanted the best of the best, and his family had nothing to do. And he was as one dead. That was Matthew. We got James and John, the sons of thunder, by the way. Oh, do you know how they got that name? They were beep, beep, beep on wheels. They loved to be ruffians. They would go and beat you up, the sons of thunder. Their family could do nothing with them. They ran as a pair. They caused trouble everywhere they could. You need to understand that this was Galileans. You'll hear it later. Nothing good could come out of that place down there. No. That's where all the ruffians went and hung out. That was the bad side. You need to understand, Jesus didn't pick the cream of the crop. He picked the most broken, outlandish, horrible choices he could. And even Judas, you know, he picked Judas. Judas was a pure, teetotal, crooked thief. Finally betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Thought he was making a profit, pushing a point. Of course, he realized what he had done. We've got these guys hanging out. They followed Jesus around, did all these right. And by the way, you do remember that even up until in the garden, Peter was showing off, right? He challenged Jesus at every corner, whopped off Malchus's ear with a sword. Remember? It was Peter. He was the only one packing in the garden. He was a concealed carrier, I guess. You know? So now what you've got going on is these people had denied Jesus. They scattered like chickens in a thunderstorm. They took off. Peter even went so far as to say, oh, yeah, they can kill me, but I won't deny you. I don't know him. I don't know him. Who are you talking about? I don't. And swore it. You know, they were failures, duds. Now, without Jesus, they were even less than nothing. They've been separated out from all of the... Now, they've heard Jesus' teaching. They had experienced the resurrected Christ. Jesus has ascended, and he said, go and wait. You guys go wait up there in that room where we... You go wait. Not many days from now, God's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, we take it for granted that we understand what that means. Now, can you imagine this bunch that had already been told little of faith? If you only knew, if you only thought, they'd already been called they were stupid and dumb and everything else. They're waiting. They're scared because the Jews are hunting the followers of Jesus to get rid of them. They don't know what's coming. Yet they go and they huddle together in an upper room. And there they are in hiding, waiting for about 40 days, about 7 weeks. And I want you to see what happens because I think we've got a wrong idea of this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning it was the proper time, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, listen to this, the wind is not blowing. They are not in Wyoming. They're in Jerusalem. And so you need to understand, the wind is not blowing, but we think that it is. What they did is they said, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent. It was the sound. We know what that sound is, don't we? It is that rush. It is that power. It is that. Notice it comes from heaven. We've heard this before, haven't we? And Jesus was baptized, and immediately the heavens opened up, and God spoke, and the people thought it thundered. We know the power of God speaking from heaven, but it also reminds us of the giving of the law. It reminds us of covenant, contract. It reminds us of providence. The wind is a spirit moving and an image of God moving anywhere you find the wind in Scripture. Whether it's the sound of the wind or the wind itself, it is a symbol of God's mighty movement. You see, the wind is that which we do not fully understand. We know it comes from somewhere, but we can never predict it totally, can we? And we've learned here that that word is almost a four-letter word, because if you say it, it shows up. I laugh at my East Coast folks. They worry when a hurricane's coming in at 40, 50, or 60 mile an hour winds. I'm thinking, that's Monday. And then it's Tuesday, and then it's Wednesday, and then it's Thursday. And, you know, and I think Jimmy Henson, my best bud, really called me about 2 months ago. He said, Pastor, you won't believe it. The wind's blowing here like blowing everything down. I said, it is. And it was the same day we were getting a real good one. And he said, yeah, he said, I saw 26 miles an hour on my meter. I said, ours hadn't been down there. I said, what? I said, yeah, it's nothing, 60, 70 miles an hour in the wintertime. It'll hammer you. But it's that noise. It is that power of God. It's that presence. They hear this noise that comes among them. It is a sound that they, can you imagine? You're in the upper room, and all of a sudden, that sound fills the room. It fills the room. And they are in that room. And that sound fills that room. And not only does that sound fill the room, we go ahead here, it says, and they were together, and suddenly there was a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them. Get this picture. Fire here. Fire here. Fire here. There's fire among them. Do you remember Moses in a burning bush? And he turned to see what manner this was, that the fire wasn't consuming the bush. Now you're in that upper room, you're scared, you're afraid, the wind has just showed up. It's tearing up Jack, but it ain't blowing. It's just sounding like everything. And now, in the middle of the sound, fire is among you. But it's not consuming you. It's not consuming your house or even melting your carpet. What would you have done? Fire extinguisher, 9/11, let's go. You know, we'd have did something about it. But now, not only that, but the wind sound is there. The fire's among them, and all of a sudden you look across the room, and Cleve's got a flame on his head, but his hair ain't burning. There's fire in the room. Folks, there wasn't just a fire. The room was filled with the power of God. And they all received the Holy Spirit, the promise of God. Jesus said, it's better that I go so that the Father can send you the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they got it, and it changed them. These bums, these lost cowards, these people afraid to stand up, all of a sudden are speaking in tongues that were native. There cannot be a misunderstanding about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pentecost is when Jesus fulfilled the second to last promise. The next one is I'm coming back. But this one is I'm sending you the Comforter. The Holy Spirit, God is sending. It's a gift from God. Each one of you that believe in Jesus, you got it. And you, everyone got it different. Have you noticed we are different? Some people are really different, but that's another story. It's another kind of different. But we're all different. And each one of us, how many of us feel worthy that we would even get a gift from God? But we're grateful, I hope. Today is the birth of the church, and I ain't talking about a denomination. Today is when God showed up to a bunch of rabble-rousing, trouble-making bums in an upper room in an unforgiving part of town and showed up, and guess what happened? They'd already experienced the resurrected Christ. They'd already ate with him. They'd already had a fish dinner with him down in John chapter 21. They'd already heard Peter. Peter had been asked three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. Three times. All of that brokenness in that upper room, lives that were ended, jobs that had been quit, followed him around. Fear. All of a sudden, God shows up, and they're not cowards anymore. You see, Peter ain't the only one that come down out of that upper room talking up a storm. You see, this noise drew a crowd, and the crowd showed up, and these guys were coming down out of there. Maybe they was running from the fire. Maybe they didn't know what else to do. But I think they just had so much they had to go. And out they go into the streets, and they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in every language. You need to understand, God's about diversity, not homogeneity. He isn't about making us all. Have you noticed, God don't make any two things the same? Have you ever noticed that? God ain't about cloning. Even twins are different. Have you noticed that? It's about diversity. Why would God want diversity? What? To reach more people, certainly. But what about just right here this morning? You got diversity. We've got people spread out all around this room. And this is bothering me. Society today wants to cancel it all. It wants to lump it all in, smooth it all over, and turn it into vanilla ice cream. You follow me or you're out of here, I'm going to cancel you. Folks, we need to celebrate that diversity. You know what's wonderful about that diversity? Okay, every one of you are looking at me, right? What color suit have I got on? It's what? It's blue. I'm going to poke him in the eye. It's black, right? Sure, it's black. Is that all it is? Got some white on it, yeah. It ain't got no buttons, though, does it? Yeah. Wait a minute. Kathy, you got a different view, don't you? See, you can't see but one side. There's another side that you can't see. And if there is a diversity, you can't see the whole picture. You can't see the whole thing. You can't experience the whole thing. You can't make a decision. Do you know, how many of you remember the Vietnam War? It celebrated its 75th year, I believe, this past week. There wasn't even a post on Facebook. There wasn't an advertisement on television. There wasn't a march downtown or a flag lifted up or half-masted. for those that served our country. Think about that. Men that went, I'm not going to go there. Just pray. When we look at our society, in psychology, we learned about business psychology. How many of you have ever heard of a thing called a think tank fallacy? Where you draw people that agree with you and say what you want to hear as your advisory group. That's how we got in Vietnam. Think tank fallacy is gathering people together who do not disagree with you, who do not disagree with you. And if they disagree with you, then they can't be part of your group, can't play on your team. We had coffee with the pastor. Cleve, I'm going to pick on you just a minute. Cleve and I have known each other since we've been here. I consider Cleve a good friend. And we were having a lively discussion at coffee on Thursday. If you miss those, sometimes we have more than just coffee. You know, we have some time. And Cleve and I were doing a give and take. And I looked around the table and I was noticing people were watching us. Folks, it's okay to not agree. It's okay to see things different. But it ain't okay not to come together that Jesus is alive, Christ is with us, the Holy Spirit is in us, and God is working in us despite our faults, despite our failures, despite our shortcomings. He already knows that we're going to mess up. He already knows that we're going to come up short. But he wants us to do things because it's only he that can do them through us. You see, that's what the miracle of Pentecost was. He took a bunch of failures and started the church with them, something only God could do. The Holy Spirit had moved within them, changed their hearts, changed their lives, emboldened them. Every one of them, save John only, would die founding the church. Horrible deaths. Stephen, one of the ones in that upper room, would just in a few short weeks be stoned to death at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, who we know better as the Apostle Paul. That's Pentecost. It's the birth of the church. No, it's the birth of God's power among humanity to change lives, yours and mine. To challenge you to see things with a new set of eyes. To accomplish that which only God can accomplish through you. That's Pentecost. It must have scared these old boys to death. But at the same time, it must have said, we're okay. God is present. And we're part of it. We haven't been excluded or left out. He kept his promise. Church, he keeps it today. He knows we're a mess sometimes. But he loves us anyway. I hope that Pentecost will become a time in our lives where we can say that cloth's going to be red. It reminds me of the fire. It reminds me of God's promise. It reminds me of God with us. It reminds me that when I'm broke, that Spirit will pray for me. When I'm weak, it'll lift me up. When I'm uncertain, it'll give me calm. When I don't know, it'll pray for me. May we know the power of the Spirit. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. The prophet Joel would go on and be quoted by Peter in his first sermon, and over 3,000 people would come to know Christ. You see, we aren't just given this for ourselves, but that we may share it with others. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm struggling in my journey. I need some extra prayers. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Amen. Pastor, I've got family members. I've got people I know and love. May I be a witness that they would see Christ in me. If you'd do that, slip your hand up and amen. Pastor, I've got people I love dearly, and I don't know if they're saved. Would you just pray with me? Slip your hand up. I want to pray with you particularly. Amen. Pastor, I personally am struggling with where I go, what I do, and who I am in the body of Christ. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, you know the heart of each and every one of us here today. You know our shortcomings. You know our strengths. You know our challenges. You know our celebrations. Father, we would pray that we would trust you in them. In our weakness, that you would be made strong. In our shortcomings, that you could be seen at work. In our uncertainty, that you would give us direction. Father, we pray today on this Pentecost Sunday for a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon us, upon our lives, upon our callings, upon our witness, upon our families and friends and our communities and our nations. Father, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us for some fellowship back in the fellowship hall. Everybody's invited. Now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you on this Pentecost Sunday. And every day, may it be Pentecost for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.